The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning. I know that you already know this, but one of the great things about living in California is that the rest of the country is a few hours ahead of us. And so you can catch up on things really early in the morning. I came in this morning, as I often do, and looked at Facebook to see what my colleagues had already been posting about how church went for them. And my friend Tim, who preached here about 18 months ago, had posted this. "Is there anything more annoying than going to church on the first Sunday in January? With all those New Year's resolutions, it's like amateur hour. People sitting in your pew, walking the wrong way up the aisle, hogging all the communion wafers. Fortunately, the novelty will wear off in a few weeks and things will return to normal." Or, he writes, "maybe I'm confusing this with the gym." Many years ago, Becky and I were at a place called Gurney Mills Mall. It's a shopping center. If you've been to one of the Mills outlets, you know what I'm talking about. It's an enormously long hallway with outlet stores from one end to the other. It's immense. Gurney Mills is located in Wisconsin, just north of Chicago. And it's a big place, but it is made even bigger when your very young children who are with you get separated from you. And that happened to me and Becky. When our children were very young, they were very good at staying close to each other, not always so good about staying close to us, and I don't mean to blame them because we should have been paying closer attention. But we didn't, and we turned around in a store. I thought they were with you, I thought they were with you, and suddenly we realized we had a problem on our hands. So this story from today's Gospel from Luke about Jesus being separated from his family in the Passover crowds in Jerusalem rings pretty true for me. I can understand the anguish that his parents would be going through. They were in good company, they were among friends, and so they weren't worried if he wasn't in their direct line of sight. But once they realized that he could not be accounted for, their search was pretty frantic. Now, if you've met my children, you know that this story has a happy ending, because they're here. We used to have four of them, but, well, no. No, they made it back safe and sound, partly, though not entirely, because we had given them some good teaching before this event happened. We made them learn our real names. We made them learn their phone numbers, our phone numbers, our cell phone numbers, and our address. They weren't happy about it, but it came in handy. And we gave them some advice. Find a policeman. Look for someone in that uniform. Go to that person. Stay in public. Don't get separated from the public places. Don't let somebody take you away somewhere. Don't get into a car with anyone unless it's a policeman. What was important was that they know where and how to search for us. And if they were equipped that way, we would know where and how to search for them. Many of you, I hope, because it was really terrific, are familiar with the 2004 film Boyhood. It tells the story of a young boy named Mason, who is 6 years old when the story starts. And by the time the movie ends, he's 18 years old. Now, in a normal movie, you would accomplish that by having a series of actors who portray the child at varying ages. They did it by filming the movie across the entire arc of 12 years. The entire movie is in 12 separate installments. They're like chapters of a book. And as they transition from one to the other, you see this young boy, Ethan, played by Eller Coltrane, and his parents, Patricia Arquette and Ethan Hawke, and his sister, Lorelei Linklater, the daughter of the director. They all age. They change. But none in such a pronounced way as Mason himself, the boy. And so as you're watching this movie, you again, one chapter would end, and they change scenes, and the weather changes, the location changes, and then out comes this face that you recognize, but it's different. He's grown. It's a year later. And the most striking shift I found when I watched the movie was when they not only changed scenes, when he not only looked older, but he came back and his voice had changed. Because it really hit me in that transition, that particular transition, that you can't go back. It really struck me that this boy that I knew has continuity with this young man we were seeing now, but would never be quite the same again. Most people who comment on the genius of this movie talk about the fact that at the beginning of that 12-year process, the director could not possibly have known how things would turn out. You know how volatile actors can be, and you know how some child actors, I don't want to mention Macaulay Culkin's name and embarrass him, but some of them don't end up looking as good as they get older, you know? Well, this kid did really well, and most people look at the movie and the director and say, that's the amazing thing. And yet other people marvel at the fact that as you move from year to year, you have this awareness that what you had grown comfortable with would never be back, that it was never going to be quite the same. Or that if you look a little deeper, you find yourself marveling at the fact that the filming they did in 1 year, without any knowledge of how things were going to be in the coming years, seemed somehow presciently to anticipate. It is as if the events of one time yielded inextricably to a calling, to a future that was destined to be.
And you could see the seeds being sown, not just in the plot line, but in the people themselves. You could see that inexorably these people were becoming who they were called to be. Jesus' voice, the voice that we and others will later know as the voice of our good shepherd, the voice that we can distinguish from the other shepherds, has changed. Jesus tells his parents, "Why were you so worried? I was in the temple. I was in my Father's house. Where did you expect me to be?" Now, Mary and Joseph's response to that is a little different than mine might have been. "I'll show you your Father's house, boy. Get over, you know." But they're actually pleased. "Why didn't you look there?" Mary responded differently, maybe because her earlier obedience gave her ears of discernment, so that she recognized that changed voice. Maybe she heard something a little beyond what is, let's face it, a pretty smart-alecky remark from that kid. Maybe she recognized the voice of her Lord and Master. Bud Holland writes, "In the baptismal service, we pray that the baptized person might have an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love God, and the gift of joy and wonder in all God's works." Those prayers are from the book of Isaiah. They're called the sevenfold gifts of the Spirit. These are the gifts that Jesus possessed. And they began possessing him when he was very young. So on this first Sunday of 2015 and the second Sunday after Christmas, when we still hear the wailing of a newborn babe in a manger, as well as his changing voice throughout his life, on this day, we're invited to consider again how important children and childlikeness and child rearing and formation really are. To look with the eyes of a child is to look without our experience or our wisdom, but also without our assumptions, our prejudices, and our limitations. Epiphany is coming. And that's that season of the year that the church remembers that the world got it, that we understood, that our eyes were opened, and we knew who Jesus really was and who he was called to be. This young Jesus in today's gospel no doubt did not comprehend the fullness of his own identity or purpose yet. But he knew how to find his way home, and he knew how to live fully in that home. Like our own lost children at Gurney Mills, Jesus knew what he was looking for. Luke's gospel goes on to hammer home themes of lostness, of seeking and finding, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, and the parable of the prodigal son. We'll hear all of these stories in Lent next year. Later on, there are encounters in the Gospels between Jesus and the blind man Bartimaeus, and then with his own disciples, where he asks them, "What are you looking for?" And later still, at the resurrection, "Whom are you looking for?" Alan Culpepper writes, "What are you searching for? And where or how do you expect to find it?" Jesus' parents were searching for Jesus while he sought to be about the tasks that his divine Father had set for him. "What we are searching for," he writes, "reveals a great deal about who we are now." So what are you searching for? And where are you not looking because you've foreclosed possibilities. And how is God inexorably calling us to be something bigger than we could ask or imagine? Holidays interrupt our ruts and our patterns. In the season of Advent, God comes near, and we wait, and we watch. And today, in the season of Christmastide, we rest with joy. I think Tim has it right. Fortunately, the novelty will wear off in a few weeks, and things will return to normal. But for now, let our own New Year's resolutions be guided by the changed voice of our Savior. And let us remember the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him when he is near." Amen.